Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, Sports for the Max, News Talk 830 WCCO. If you missed something in the first half hour with Joel Maturi there, talking about Coach McDonald, go to Rewind on Radio.com. Just download the Radio.com app and use it to listen to podcasts and favorite segments of News Talk 830 WCCO. Rewind can take you to the start of the program or to a specific time of the interview. Joining us now on the Centerpoint Energy Home Service Plus Hotline, the one and only Daryl Thompson. DT, how are you tonight?
Hey, I am. I'm doing good, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
I've talked to you a few times, but I mean, take me back to when COVID hit in your world. How did it rocket from a business personal standpoint? You got kids that are, you know, adults, but they're out and about and they're playing sports and doing different things. What's the last 7 months been like for you?
It was a challenge, you know, and I think at the beginning it was interesting because my daughter was pregnant. Wow. And so that made us hyper-vigilant about protection and not going places and not doing anything. And I went to have actually just a drink with one of my buddies, and my daughter almost kind of chewed me out. I was like, okay, so I'm not going to – I mean, I can't do anything, you know. So I'm like, I got to go to work. I can go home. Then I can talk across the lawn to the neighbors. That's it. So, but as we all got more comfortable, those things got a little bit – got better. But it's certainly been a challenge personally and professionally. But we're all just kind of, you know, working our way through it.
And at Boulder Options, and that's part of big part of what we're having you on here tonight. What did you do right off the top? I mean, did fear set in? Did you what? Because you're talking about one-on-one interactions being paramount to what you do.
You know what's funny, Mike, is we moved everything online, and I was like, you know, the program department said we're gonna move everything online. I'm like, okay, well that sounds good, and it worked great. It worked great until it got nice out and school got over. Then everyone's like, you know what? I don't want to go to virtual tutoring night. I don't want to play puzzles online. I don't want to play Google Chat, Scrabble, and all these other wonderful things. Yep. I thought, it's warm out, and I'm going to go outside. And we went from 100% participation to 0%. And we started our reintegration program in July, and that's when we started meeting in person outside, you know, kind of safe and taking temperatures and all those types of things. And that got everything going. So really, it was like there was like 2 weeks in there where it was like the program department was like, we've got really, really low participation. I'm glad we're starting to roll out our program and that the weather's nice and we can actually be outside and do things safely with our kids and train mentors the same way. So we've been able to kind of just fight through it and help our families, you know, with everything from, you know, tablets to internet access to, you know, basic needs, some, you know, some food supplies. Now we're actually getting ready to kind of, unfortunately, get ready for winter, you know, so we're trying to, you know, prepare and help our families get through that time of year as well.
And you're going to do your fundraiser virtually too, right?
Yeah, we really were hoping that something would happen, but you know, if you're a child, we already have over 100 people signed up, and I think we'll end up with maybe 200 to maybe 250 if we're lucky. But that we're not going to throw all those people in a room and get together. So yeah, it's going to be online on the 28th of this month. So we're fired up.
And when you do that, I've been involved in a couple of them. I just did one for Inner City Tennis. You know, the difference being, obviously, in a live audience, you see the reaction, you feel it, all those things. Obviously, people have become comfortable with this, but how does it change the way you target it? Are you trying to get people to watch it live? Are you trying to get them just to watch it at some point in time once it's been archived?
Well, live, you know, I mean, we're going to tape it so you can go back and watch it again, but our goal is that it's live, and that's part of the reason it's short. And we're making it like a half hour. You know, it's like it is going to be a half hour.
now that sounds like Darrell Thompson to me.
Yeah.
No sense being long when you can be short.
Yeah, short and sweet, to the point. Just like doing the color. I got to get in, I got to get out, I got to get off. So that's it. Not too much. So, yeah, a half hour, though. And I mean, that's everyone's attention span, though, Mike. I mean, my wife trying to convince me to watch something on Netflix. Is it a half hour? So I can watch almost anything for a half hour.
I always say when I meet with people and I'm going to speak at a banquet or MC it, I always say, I've never been to a banquet where people said, boy, I wish that would have been longer. But I have been to a few where they said, you know what, that got a little long, you know?
Yeah. I'd like to hear more from him.
That's why we got websites and everything else. Now, how has this affected, though? I mean, do you have great concerns about the kids that you don't see in person? Does seeing them in person, their body language, everything else mean a lot to you, a little, in terms of Boulder Options and the mentorship part of it?
Well, it means a lot, you know, and I think there is a lot of, you know, isolation. There's depression. There's been suicide. I had someone in my office today talking about that. That, you know, some kids are, you know, they've taken their lives just because of the trauma of the situation and being alone and not being able to interact with schools and teachers and counselors and their peers. I mean, I know when I was, especially when I was a kid, I was running around from until it got dark, and then you came in and eat, and you ran around a little bit more, and you came in. And they're not able to do that right now because, you know, obviously safety concerns, and we're all, you know, doing our best to adhere to the protocol, but it's challenging to our families.
You know, I've got this theory, Darrell, and I don't know if it applies to the kids that you see, but having teenagers, I watch this stuff closely, and I think when you're in your room all day, even if you're being efficient and effective in your studies, I think depression, a form of depression sets in because there's nobody there to make you laugh. You know, you're not walking in the hallway with a smart aleck remark as you go to your locker. You're not sitting down and eating lunch and giggling with or whatever it is that you do. You're not people watching, even in a classroom where you just kind of fixate on different things to get you through the hour. And I think that's a real issue with kids because I think when you don't have those available to you, you begin to focus on the bad parts of your life, you know?
Yeah, no question. I think this the pure isolation alone, it's tough for, you know, us adults. You know,
yeah.
I work from home like 1.5 or 2 days a week now, and it's like, come on to the basement. I'm like, whoa, hey, you know, I need some, you know, fresh air, you know, maybe I'll go for a walk or walk the dog or something. So not having, you sometimes at work you talk about, oh man, interrupted, I don't have my door open. Now, like, I when someone walks by my door at work, I'm like, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing here? Good to see you. Hey, you want to? Let's talk for a little bit.
So, did you fill your tank up with gas today? Well, then what'd you do? Yeah.
Yeah. Pull up a seat.
And I know we're all getting, but I worry about, here's the other kid that I worry about, Darrell, because I saw this recently, the talented kid, and you kind of think there's something not right at home, you know? But you can't really prove it, and you're not sure if it's your place to step in, but you don't want to see this kid lose the potential that they have. And you just kind of get a gut feel that it's probably not that good even when he was going to school every day, but at least that was the place he could get away from it. Now he's living it every day, and I don't know what the effects are of that. Do you have a template or a model when you see something like that, when there's a heads up where you go, yeah, I'm not quite sure what's going on there, but I don't like it?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're always have our eye out for kids that we feel like might have something else going on. So there's just telltale signs, you know, it's anything from eye contact to bad body language or to something they might just mention in a casual conversation so that we can try to find help from them. You know, we have done that a few times, just trying to say, you know, maybe you should talk to someone. Even if it's not it doesn't have to always be a therapist. Sometimes just getting some things off your chest can make a big difference.
Nick Saban tested positive for COVID today. You have a son who plays at the University of Minnesota. What do you, as you assess this from where you sit, How do you feel about COVID as it integrates into college football? Which, you know, it seems like, you know, there have been some shutdowns, obviously, but overall, when you consider the number of teams that there are, it seems like they've done a pretty good job of getting the season going.
I think so. I mean, I know they're, you know, testing at the University of Minnesota 6 days a week, and I'm sure they are everywhere else. So I think people are doing, you know, pretty much absolute best they can. And they're just, you know, Nick Saban's got COVID, so he's got to be out for 2 weeks.
Yeah, and you know Nick Saban is going to be teaching them virtually, you know.
Oh, I am really highly doubt that Nick's just going to sit at home and watch soap operas all day long. I'm sure
he's not going to email his assistant and say, "Tell me how practice went today." You have that live feed going, and you're going to hear his voice. And you know, honestly, I mean, isn't that where we're at though? With it? I mean, that's kind of the way it is. Go coach from home. Go do whatever you have to do from home. We get it, you know.
Yeah, well, he's got enough resources. He can put up 3 or 4 extra TVs in his basement and keep an eye on practice. And you know, he can probably basically be there. Actually, he can zoom in. He can zoom in there and say, you know, I want to talk about this, and let me talk to the team before practice on this TV over in the corner or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, it'll be. You know, I don't know what he's going to do, but I'm sure it'll be entertaining. And it was one of the things I thought. I said, can you imagine if Coach Light couldn't be at practice? I mean,
oh my God,
he'd go insane at home.
Feel sorry for the walls in the house he'd be bouncing off of. Yeah.
Oh my, yeah. He'd just be like, he can't have COVID, you know? So, I mean, and Saban, all those guys are the same way. I mean, we're all kind of the same way. I can't stay at home, you know?
I wasn't meant to do that. No.
No.
No. Now, I would think now purely, let's assume all things being equal. My theory is that having Tanner Morgan as your quarterback with no non-conference games is a great advantage. Maybe the biggest advantage of the Big Ten, because I've never seen anybody that can manage a game and make so few mistakes as he does. Do you concur with that line of thinking?
Oh, I do. Yeah, I think he's an excellent quarterback. You know, and I was really impressed with Zach Anixet. So I think
and you got him as a backup just in case. Yeah,
Zach's a great backup, but I think Tanner is he's an advanced quarterback. He's moving people with his eyes. He's making good reads. He's making good decisions. He's a coach on the field, and he's a leader. So I mean, that's what you want. So I think he's a big advantage. And you know, also, it's not a bad idea that Rashad Bateman's coming back either. You know, that's a blessing for the University of Minnesota football team.
Like a guy like Bateman in the Big Ten, let's just say, if you want to get him the ball, can you get him the ball, or is that oversimplifying it?
No. They will get him the ball. I mean, they'll scheme it. They'll get him, move him around a little bit. I mean, not having Tyler makes it a little bit, but I think he kind of, he was established. They were paying attention to him after about his fourth game of his freshman year. He was noticed on the film. I was like, after about 3 games, I was like, okay, we got 1A and we got 1B right here, and there's no drop off.
Now, I don't remember who even backed you up when you played for the Gophers. It just seemed like it was the Darrell Thompson show, as I recall. But
oh man, that's so long ago. That's a lot of licks.
But did you? I mean, were you geared? Did you want 25 carries a game? Did you want a lighter load? As a running back, how did you know, last year they split it with Smith and Brooks and Abraham a little bit. What did you want as a running back?
You want the ball as much as you can get it, you know. And I think it was also a different time of football too. So there wasn't as many two backs. I mean, it really was. Just started to come in a little bit later, but it's not a bad thing, because I probably carried the ball sometimes, you know, maybe 8 or 9 times a game where maybe I shouldn't have. You know, you start getting over 22 to 30 carries. It just takes a toll. And I felt it on those Sundays in my dorm room or my apartment. It was pretty sore. It was tough to move around on Sunday. My coaches took good care of me, but it was, splitting those carries, keeping guys fresh, also allows you to be a little bit more diverse and dynamic offensively if you have two guys that you feel like you can trust to play in the game.
And I, you know, I remember, you know, you guys running the veer of the option with Ricky Foggy, and to an extent, for people that don't know, I mean, you don't know if you're going to get the ball in a lot of plays either, because that's dictated by the defense, I'm sure, going into a lot of games. You don't know. If the pitch man picks up the quarterback, you're getting the ball, but if he doesn't, you're not.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You know, and it was one blessing of having Ricky the first 2 years. I mean, I didn't even know how good it was. I mean, he was he's one of the, well, for sure, one of the greatest option quarterbacks at the University of Minnesota, and probably one of the top 20, you know, that played, you know, college football, you know, all time. So he was dynamic. He was fun. He was, super athletic, and he was daring. You have to be daring play an option quarterback because you're playing with that read man, hoping that he doesn't blow your chest up, and it's not a it's not for everybody.
Yep, and the read man decides, and if he takes the quarterback gets rid of the ball, he hopes in time, but either way, he's getting it.
He's getting it. And I always joke when I talk to guys that we're playing against a quarterback that's like a Rick, like when we played against Randall Al, I was like, you know what? I suggest you blow up the quarterback every time. Nothing's worse than when the quarterback comes back to the huddle and he's a little bit dinged or he's knocked out of breath. I said, you hit him, and don't worry about the running back. I mean, even if he runs, you know, maybe he rips off a 20-yard run, I said, you know what, blow that quarterback up a couple times. It's part of the reason they don't do it anymore, because they're like, we're just going to blow the quarterback up.
That's right. So once you figure that out, did Bosworth ever get a good shot in on you?
No. No,
he didn't?
I got it. No, I got a good picture of me in the Boz.
Do you?
That's one of my favorite. Yeah, yeah. I tried to lower the boom on him. Or I did lower the boom on him, actually.
But they beat you. Was that down in Oklahoma, or where was it that you played them?
Oh, yeah, they beat us. They beat us. But that was my little battle that I won that day, so I feel good about it.
And you were just a freshman then?
Yeah, I was just trying to figure things out.
Well, welcome to the big time, huh? Walking out into Oklahoma with Switzer and Bosworth and Spencer Tillman and that group, huh?
Oh, Jamel Holloway. I mean, Keith Jackson was the tight end. He ran a reverse for it. I mean, the team they had was, it was Dixon, defensive back. I played against him in the NFL. I think they had 8 or 9 guys that played in the NFL off that team. And they were, it was a tremendous, the best team that money could buy is Glenn Mason. Like,
so. Yeah, Barry Switzer, I mean, they said that the Boz was on campus. He was in a cafeteria. He hadn't met him yet, but he knew he was, you know, he'd seen enough film or whatever that he said he really wanted him. And he'd heard that Boz was kind of flamboyant. So as Switzer tells the story, he walks into the cafeteria. Switzer's got a full-length mink coat and all his championship rings on. And he says, Boz, I'm looking for the Boz. Can anybody tell me where the Boz is? And, of course, everybody in the cafeteria knows who the Boz is. And he walks over to the table and introduces himself, and it was a done deal before he sat down, you know?
Oh, no question.
Last question, you put your Packer hat on for a minute. The Packers are winning big. Of course, that was your team. And, I mean, you talk about life going full circle. Their general manager is your old coach's son, John Gutekunst's son, is the general manager. Did you remember him as a young kid?
Oh, just a little bit. I mean, he was just kind of around the team every once in a while. But I tell you what, it's not surprising. His dad's football IQ was incredible.
Really?
Coach Gutekunst wasn't a great head coach, but it just wasn't his thing. I mean, Coach Gutekunst recognized defense, he recognized personnel, he recognized matchups, and he was phenomenal at it. Being a head coach is a whole different thing. You got to recruit, you got to talk to boosters, all that stuff. That wasn't Goody's thing. You want to coach? He'll out-coach you. You know, all that other stuff just gets to be like, it can be overwhelming. You know, but he's a great guy, and I'm not surprised that his son is, a chip off the block. But he also just kind of learns being around his dad, super studious, very smart, and thinking about the way he wants to build the team. And he's done a great job with the Packers.
And you just mentioned that thing, matchups. Is that really what defines a great coordinator? Is can I get the matchups that I want?
Well, I think it's matchups and also self-study to know what you guys do well and what's going to work against this next team. So, yeah, matchups are extremely important, yeah.
Sure. And the Vikings, you think what of right now?
They're in a tough spot, you know. One victory and a tough loss over in Seattle. I think they're in a really, really tough spot. I hope, you know, and I'm a Viking fan and a Packer fan, which kind of makes me a little bit weird here in the Twin Cities. But it's much more fun when the Vikings are winning. People are just happy. The mood's better. So I'm pulling for them. I hope we can, the Vikings can pull some games out, make it a fun season, because it just feels like there's a little bit of a fog over that that place right now, and we need to lift it and get it going.
For sure. And if people want to participate in the live event or watch it on video, how do they do it for Boulder Options?
They can sign up for the Cyber Bash right at our website. So just go to boulderoptions.org, and you can click on events, and the Cyber Bash is right there. And it doesn't cost anything to attend it. So it's fun afternoon of half hour of entertainment. And, we might even try to mix a little bit of sports in. There's a silent auction and all that good stuff. And you'll get to learn and see what Boulder Options is doing in the community, which is actually the most important thing.
Well, you've done a great job with it, Darryl, for so many years. Now, keep up the great work. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Always a pleasure to visit with you.
Thanks for having me on, Mike. I appreciate it, man. See you soon.
You bet. Darryl Thompson, the one and only. Nice enough to join us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.